Okay, hello everybody. Welcome. Thank you for showing up at 4 o'clock on Thursday after a very long Ignite session. Let me introduce ourselves. I'm Chris.
I'm Jenny.
And we're both program managers on the Azure Automation team. And today we're going to talk to you about process automation, and we have a lot of new things to show you. So there's some of you out there who have used Azure Automation, there's some of you who have used Orchestrator, some of you may have been starting to use Operations Management Suite, and there's going to be folks who haven't. So we're going to go through from all of those perspectives, from a learning perspective for new users, and also to show some of the new things that we've been creating over the past year for those who are already using it. So we have a lot to show, a lot of great things to show you. And so if you can like hold questions to the end, and then at the end, you'll be able to go to one of those two speakers up there, or microphones, and we can handle some questions. So first of all, you know, the basic, if you walk away from here, the basic elevator speech that we'd like you to have is that Azure Automation and automation within OMS, it's basically a platform for you to automate the management of your resources, your infrastructure, and your applications. And you can do that anywhere. You can do that in Azure, you can do that in any other cloud, and you can also do that on-premise, working with Windows and Linux, using process automation in the form of runbooks based on PowerShell scripts. And as you'll see, we're also moving into the Linux world with some of the Linux languages as well. And you can also do configuration management with PowerShell DSC to manage the configuration of your OSs. And also, as part of our integration into the Operations Management Suite, you're going to see that we're bringing into you patch management, full cycle patch management of your machines, and also change tracking to see what changes are happening throughout all of the resources that you have in your system. So that's sort of the core elevator speech for us, the core value. And the result of all this is that you can take all these actions that you're doing manually that get repeated over and over again that are error prone, and you can automate them so that once you've automated them, tested them, you have them working, you can just push the button and they go. And that saves you time, saves you money, and frees you up to work on things that are more important than going in and pushing the button 20 times a day or several times a week, all right? So it really frees you up and it saves money for everybody. As part of the Operations Management Suite, we are one of the four pillars in there that includes insight and analytics. And some of you may have seen the deep dive yesterday where the lead PMs were giving deeper insight into each one of the different pillars there. There's also been many talks throughout the week, and there's some more tomorrow that some of our team's giving as well on some of the deep dives into the different pillars. But the basic four pillars you have are insight and analytics, which is getting your data into the OMS, getting them into the database and the cloud service so you can do analytics on the logs. Then there's also the automation and control piece, which is us, where now you can start taking actions on what you learn from the logs that are going into OMS. You can start taking actions on them and doing remediations and doing other sorts of things you need to do to handle these issues. Security and compliance and protection and recovery are also two other areas that are part of the operations management suite. So when you look at the automation and control part, again, like I mentioned in the first slide, you know, we can manage any cloud, you can manage on-premise, we have process automation, configuration management, update management, and change tracking, and you do it across Windows and Linux. So what we're looking at here is that you can manage all of your resources anywhere. And on the next slide, I'll show you can manage also the complete life cycle of everything. So we want you to go away thinking that this is a complete automation platform for managing all of the resources that you need to manage. So as far as looking across your life cycle, that includes things like building, configuration, monitoring your assets, protecting them, securing them, and governing them. And automation and control can be part of all of that. Everything you need to do, the life cycle of all of the resources you have, you can use and you can fit automation into that, and it'll help you manage them more quickly, more cheaply, and more securely. So again, the four main things are automating tasks with runbooks, configuration with PowerShell DSC, change tracking and update management, And we're going to talk about the first one primarily today. Tomorrow, there's going to be some talks around noon on the configuration and PowerShell DSC piece and the change tracking. There's also going to be talk about 10:45 on the update management part, real deep dives into those aspects of our service. So what I'll do right now is I'm going to go through a few slides and walk through some of the core aspects of the automation service, and then I'm going to do a demo, and I'll walk through it there and show you some of the core pieces of Azure Automation. So one of the nice aspects of Azure Automation is that we give you the ability to store assets in the cloud. So, you know, it's based on PowerShell runbooks. These runbooks need assets. When you're reaching out and integrating with systems, you have credentials you have to use, you have connections you're making, you have to store certificates. Maybe you're going to use variables that work across many of your different runbooks. So we've created a secure store where you can create and store these different assets in the cloud service and then use them throughout your runbooks. And these include, again, these various things you see here. Everything is encrypted and stored securely. Runbooks and authoring are part of it. We have several types of runbooks. Again, the core runbook is the PowerShell, native PowerShell runbook. We also have a very nice feature in graphical runbooks, which use native PowerShell as the engine there. So those of you who are familiar with Orchestrator, System Center Orchestrator, are used to the graphical drag and drop and link and then configure type of workflow. We offer that as well. We also offer PowerShell workflow. So if you need to checkpoint, if you have processes that may start and stop, or you have some time where there may be failures and you don't want to restart from the beginning, we do offer PowerShell workflow as well. So you can take advantage of the checkpointing capabilities there. But we do recommend sticking with native PowerShell for as much as possible. And as you're going to see, Jenny will show you something here, we're also moving into being able to manage using some of the Linux languages as well. And then we also have textual and graphical authoring, both in the cloud and on-prem, and I'm going to show you some demos of those. So one of the value props is with our service is that you can integrate basically with any service out there that has an API and has a web interface, an internet interface. And with PowerShell, most of the big and small services have created PowerShell modules to integrate with their web API. And so it makes it very easy then for you to then create your own runbooks based on those modules to then integrate with whatever you want. Azure has the whole bucket of modules for integrating with all of Azure. Amazon, you name it, everybody has PowerShell modules, and so it makes the integration story really great. And you can import modules into our system, you can make your own modules and import them, and then use them throughout your runbooks. We also have a gallery, which Jenny is going to talk about some more later, which hooks you into the Script Center and also the PowerShell gallery, so you could take advantage of all of the community work that's already been done out there to help kickstart you in your work when you're trying to work make some workflow against some system. And also we have something called Hybrid Runbook Workers, which is part of our promise of cloud and on-premise. So you can manage any of your resources anywhere, in the cloud or within your data center. And we're also going to talk a little bit more about Hybrid Runbook Workers and how they work, where you can actually run the runbooks down within your data center so it can reach out to the other assets in your data center behind your firewall. One aspect then of the service is being able to execute runbooks. So you've created these scripts. They're ready to do work for you. You can execute them many ways. You can execute them through the UX. You can execute them through schedules, which Jenny's going to walk through in a bit. More than, you know, a large number of our runbooks right now are done on schedules. You can use something called a webhook, where you can kick off a runbook from anywhere that supports a webhook feature, HTTP post. We also have a REST API you can work against. And we also have a PowerShell module, which you can use to manage actually Azure Automation itself. One of the nice features that we created this past year was something called the Run As Accounts. Now, one of the issues that people were having early on with the service was getting the authentication into Azure. And there was some difficulties in setting that up and how to make that work and in a in a way that didn't take you a lot of effort and didn't give you a lot of problems. So we've done this work on something called a run-as account, where we actually, when you spin up an automation account, we will create this for you. We will create all the auth pieces. We will set up the credentials and the connections for you so that it's very easy for you then just to start working against Azure. So if you're working against Azure resources, we've already done the work here with these run-as connections and this authentication that makes it very easy to jump right in. And you can do that either against the ARM resources or against the classic resources if you're still using classic VMs. So let me switch over to a demo. So to start this demo out, I'm in the Azure portal here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you, how many of you use Azure right now? How many of you use Azure Automation? Okay, so this will be interesting to you. So if you want to get onboarded with Azure Automation right now, and including automation and OMS, one of the quickest ways to do it is use your Azure subscription. Come here to this big plus up here, management and monitoring. And right here, you'll see this product called Automation and Control. So if we click that, this is from the Azure Marketplace. It brings up a window, tells you what you're getting here. You say create. And then what you do is you'll go through a workflow here, which will set up an OMS workspace and an automation account. All right? And I'm not going to go through this in detail because I just want to let you know that you can set them up, and then you can choose the pricing tier. If you just want to try this out, there's a free pricing tier. You could stay on it forever if you wanted to, and you could use both the workspace and you could use the automation. And then when you're ready to start getting serious and bring in all of your workloads, you can move up to the paid tier. So it's very easy to go through this, create a new workspace. You can use an existing one. If you already have an OMS workspace, you could use that. And this will create both the workspace and the automation account for you, and you'll be all ready to go. So let me go back here we've already gone through this. That's how these things were created. We created an automation account. We created a workspace. And what I'd like you to do now is just walk through the automation account from the UX within Azure. This is what we call the dashboard. And what you can see in here is information and access to the various assets that you have stored in the cloud. So basically, you can think of an automation account as a place where you're storing your automation assets. You're storing your runbooks, you're storing the credentials, connections, that sort of thing, the schedules you're making, the DSC configurations. You're storing that all up there. And here's how you can access some of those things. So like one of the core areas is runbooks. I'm going to go to runbooks in a second. I'm going to come over here right now and go down to this area to assets. And just to go through where the assets are, you know, these are the things that you're going to use over and over. One is modules. So as I mentioned, as part of the integration story, you integrate with other systems through PowerShell modules and the commandlets in them. As part of each automation account, we automatically populate that with most of the common Azure modules and with most of the common PowerShell modules as well. You can then upload your own to connect to whatever system you want. It's a very easy thing to do to add a module. You can also browse through a gallery to find other modules and pull them in to your system. Let me just show you here, credentials. So you can store your credentials securely. It's very easy to make a credential. You just come in here, you give the name of the credential, username, password, all right, and then you can store your creds here. They're stored totally encrypted, and then you can pull them in to your PowerShell runbooks as pure PowerShell PS creds. And again, you can see others like connections here. Connections are a very cool feature that often connections are related to connecting to a very particular service. And most of the services also have modules associated with them. So you have a PowerShell module that has all the commandlets that work against the API. And what we've allowed you to do is when you import a module into our system, you can just add one more file, a JSON file, and you can describe what a connection looks like to that system. And once you've imported that, then you come over here and you go add a connection. And let's look at the type here. We'll just go to a Visual Studio one. And you can see that the Visual Studio connection wants a username, password, and an account. And connections to some other service might have a different set of values. So this basically makes it very easy for you to set up a connection to that service and then manage it. And then, of course, variables here is where you can put variables in that you would then reuse throughout runbooks. And you can, these variables here can be created here, or they can be created through runbooks. So you can create a variable through a runbook, use it, get rid of it if you wanted to, or put it up there as a static store for information that can be used across runbooks and between runs of runbooks. Another one that's really important here, and I'm not going to talk too much because Jenny's going to talk more about this, but this is scheduling. We have a very powerful scheduling engine where you can then kick off your runbooks based on schedules that mean something to you. So basically, you've automated your work, and now you put it on a schedule, and it's just going to happen over and over again. It's going to work. Sorry. The on-off switch did not work. Okay. I apologize for that. So that's assets. Then runbooks. Runbooks are an area. This is where you're going to store your runbooks. And I'm going to give some more detailed look into actually authoring of runbooks. But within here, you can store your runbooks. You can create new runbooks. And as you can see here, we have these four types, and we're going to be adding types to that again, the Linux types. You can import also runbooks from that you have either created on your own machine, and we'll show you the PowerShell ISC add-on in a bit here too. We've actually created runbooks down on your machine, and you upload them into the cloud. Are these runbooks that somebody sent you, and you can then upload them into the service? And another area is here, the gallery, and Jenny will show you that, so I'm not going to go into the gallery right now, but you can pull runbooks down from a gallery as well. Jobs, so your runbooks, when you run them, they're run as jobs, and they're either run in our cloud service, in the tenant isolated workers, or they're run down in your data center on one of the hybrid workers. And this is a way for you to basically track the status of the jobs that are running throughout your system. And what you see here is you can see the entire list of jobs, you can see the summary of the job, you can find the runbook that ran it, you can see what the input parameters were, you can see what any output was. I'm not sure if that one had any output. You can see all the logs, so basically PowerShell, you know, workflows and scripts output streams. You have output, you have warning, you have error, you have verbose, other streams. Those will all show up here in this streams log. So you can actually use this to track your jobs, troubleshoot if any issues are going with them. And as I'll show you in a little bit, we have a way to get these also into OMS, so it makes the tracking a lot richer. Another one down here is hybrid worker groups, where when you make hybrid workers, you can then keep a list of the hybrid workers you have. And again, this is part of the story of being able to manage your on-premise resources from, you know, you store your information, you store your runbooks and assets in the cloud, but then you actually do the work down within your data center. And if you have hybrid workers down there, they can reach out and work on other resources that are down there. So this is a way to track, you know, create the hybrid runbook workers and track them here. And then another one here is the DSC piece. So if you're using PowerShell desired state configuration, we offer a pull service, and there's going to be more of a deep dive on this tomorrow. But we are a pull server for PowerShell DSC. You can upload your configurations into the service here. And you can see the source of this. And again, you can edit these in the PowerShell ISE add-on that I'm going to show you in a second, and then upload them into here, or you can edit them wherever you want and pull them in. Once you have them in, you can then compile them into the node configurations. And then you can also apply, you know, the nodes to the configurations, and then you have the complete PowerShell DSC cycle where the DSC configuration is actually applied to that node, and then it also is kept in that state. So you get tracking here on how the state is of these nodes, whether they're in compliance or not, and you can also choose if you want to have automatic fixing of the nodes if they're out of compliance. And again, there's going to be more of a deep dive on this tomorrow, so I'm not going to go into it in detail. And so I think that we also have some source control integration, and we're going to be working more on that and helping you manage the lifecycle of your scripts and your runbooks through source control hooked in with automation. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to Jenny for the next piece.
Hi. Thank you, Chris. So I'm going to be going over a little bit of some of our older features that have gotten vamped up in the past year. The first being scheduling. Scheduling is one of our most valued features. In fact, over 50% of our automation runbooks are currently kicked off by schedules. And if you think about it, automation scheduling really gets down to the heart of automation. In essence, you're removing the human intervention from redundant and reoccurring tasks. A good example of this, a lot of customers come to us and say, you know, I am constantly spinning up VMs for my developers, and then they leave them on all night and waste so many compute hours. With automation scheduling, you could kick off a schedule for a runbook that stops all the VMs every night at 9 p.m., and another one that turns back on all the VMs by 7 a.m. the next morning. Now, previously, we only offered daily and hourly schedules. But after getting customer feedback, we've opened up more options, including weekly and monthly scheduling options, as well as time zone support and daylight savings time support. Another great feature that we offer in Azure Automation is gallery support. And by this, I mean different repositories for scripts that you can access. Now, in the past, we only offered support for Script Center, but we're proud to announce that we're currently offering support for both Script Center and PowerShell Gallery, which is a robust community-supported PowerShell script repository. And not only can you access that and go to the website and click the little blue button to deploy straight to the Azure portal, you can actually access it in the Azure portal, making it easier than ever to get started with Azure Automation. And the best part is you get to leverage the work of Microsoft and community as we continually update these repositories. Now, hybrid runbook workers, as Chris mentioned earlier, are our answer to the on-premise question. So here's kind of a high-level overview. Essentially, automation is a cloud service. We have essentially access to Azure resources and other cloud resources. While your on-prem machines only have access to your on-prem and local resources and hardware. But if you onboard a local machine as a hybrid worker, you can actually pull down runbooks and run them on your local machine to gain access to both your Azure and other cloud resources, as well as your on-prem resources, such as Hyper-V, VMware. And to kind of clarify this a little more, a hybrid runbook worker is a machine that pulls from Azure Automation different runbooks, and then allows you to manage both on-prem and cloud resources. And it's so easy to get started. Once it's installed and configured, you press Start Runbook, and you have a clear option. Do you want to run on Azure or a hybrid runbook worker? And I'll show you this later. But first, we get to the fun stuff. Coming soon, what's the next step for hybrid runbook workers? The next step is Linux. So for all of you Linux fans, or you have a bunch of servers that you want to see what's going on or run PowerShell scripts on, PowerShell's now on Linux too. And if you don't have PowerShell scripts for Linux right now, we're opening up support for Python and Bash only for our Linux hybrid workers. So you get that same experience of editing in the portal for these new runbook language types. So there's no timeline for when this will currently be available, but if you'd like to join the private preview for these features or other OMS features, you can go to aka.ms/myoms. So now I'm going to do some demos. So here's our favorite Azure Automation portal. I'm going to start off. I want to go and see what's out there. So I can go to the PowerShell gallery and easily choose between the two sources. And just to get started, I'm going to run a Hello World program. And it's super easy. You can see the script right here and just click Import. And this allows you to see what type of runbook it is. You can rename it. So if you tried importing in the past and you made changes and you want to start fresh, you can import with any name you want. And as soon as the import is successful, it'll open up right away. Now, to kind of condense demos, I'm going to go ahead and schedule this runbook. But first, I'm going to kind of look at it, make sure that it's what I was expecting. Yep, writes output, and then publish. And publishing allows all these options to become ungrayed out. And then I can schedule. So here you could choose from pre-existing schedules, or you could make a new one. I'm going to make a new one. And to make sure that there's no conflict between the resources, you have to do 5 minutes in advance. So, and then again, even on the scheduler, you can choose whether or not you want to run on a Azure or a hybrid worker. But for now, I'm just going to run on Azure. So now the runbook is linked to the schedule. I could go in, click on the runbook, and see that the schedule is there. The status is on, and I could see when it's next going to run. Now while we wait for that, I'm going to go to my runbooks and find my Linux hybrid demo. So this is very simply just a PowerShell script for Linux, so I can get the system info, printout data, PowerShell process, the machine's uptime, current users. A lot of things that I could do on Linux, I can now do through PowerShell on Linux and access through the Azure Automation portal. So I'm going to go ahead and run this. And as I said earlier, it's super easy to run on a hybrid worker. You simply press the hybrid worker button and then choose the hybrid worker group you want. I'm going to go onto my Ubuntu. And while we're waiting for that, so one of the things I talked about was running who to see the user. So I'm currently logged SSH'd into my hybrid worker. So I can see I'm on my automation account. So as this pulls up, we could see, yep, I'm on Linux hybrid worker. I could see the version of Ubuntu, the date, time, and I see who, automation. So you can see the list of users with just simple commands that you'd be used to in Linux. And I can also get the contents of files. So let's get to something more fun. And just kind of putting out there, PowerShell for Linux is currently open source. So you have so many more capabilities, and its libraries are going to continue to grow. And it just becomes really powerful now that it's open up to both operating systems. So this one takes a little bit longer to run, so I'm going to start it first and then go over what's in the demo script. So here you see a Python script. You see my importing statements. I have also, there's an Azure SDK for Python, so you can access your Azure resources through Python. Here I simply print out the system information and then do an HTTPS GET request to the Azure Automation website. As well, you can run a lot of commands that you'd run on your terminal prompt. And so here I'm doing an installation of an application, in this case, Time. And then I can access my Azure resources through the Azure SDK. So this code right here prints out all of the resources in my current resource group. So I can go back now and see the jobs. So you can see this is currently running. Let's see what it has for me. So you could see the Python version 2.7.6, as well as Linux, the machine type, distribution. Here's my GET request. I already had Time installed on the machine, so I had an upgrade. And it made sure everything was still installed. And I could see this is my Linux hybrid worker, the machine that's currently on, as well as my backup worker, and all the different resources in my resource group. And like I said earlier, this is very similar experience to if you were making any other runbook. I simply go to create new runbook, and I can choose from Python 2 and Bash. Now I'm going to hand it over to Chris.
Okay, thanks, Jenny. Let me see, I'll go back to 7. By the way, Jenny is one of our newest PMs, and she just graduated from Georgia Tech here in Atlanta. So this is her first presentation to an audience like you. I think she did a great job.
Thank you.
Let me see, I'll do the next one then. So one of the things I want to do in this, there's a couple of examples I'm going to give you of people using the service in certain ways. And one of the examples that is really awesome is actually our service uses our service to deploy our service. And that's not an easy task. It's quite complex because we roll out several different subservices over 10 different regions. It's quite a complicated task. Even doing the back end itself used to take more than a week of following through a whole list of things like this, manually doing all this. So they spent a lot of time using our service to actually automate the deployment of Azure Automation, and this happens now almost weekly to put the new stuff out there so you can get the new things that we're doing very quickly. That's one of the advantages of cloud services, is you get to take advantage of all the new features that we put out in almost real time. And so I just wanted to show you here the example of how they use this, our service, to do continuous deployment of the service. And if you look at the diagram up here, you can see that we're using Azure Automation Service. It uses all of these different parts of the solution. They have PowerShell scripts and they have PowerShell workflows. They use Azure modules, they use scheduling and webhooks. There's hybrid runbook workers involved, many different types of assets with credentials and variables in them. They use the service principles and the run as accounts to talk with Azure. They use an Azure SQL database, and there's integration with Slack, with TFS, with email, and various internal compliance systems we have. So you can see the integration that's happening here for this, where you're doing a very complex orchestration of the deployment and configuration of a complex service, and it's all being done through Azure Automation. You can see here how, you know, and once we did this, we're able to do these deployments now very quickly. So within the first part of this was finished like sometime last spring, and they've already done, it's roughly three deployments a day is what this comes down to if you really add it all up, three service deployments per day. And so that really shows the power of Azure Automation. And what happened is that these engineers who previously were spending all this time doing deployments now can actually work on features, that we can get more features out for you. So it really helped us improve our value through automation. So I'd like to talk a little bit about authoring right now. And again, we have several types of runbooks. We have both textual runbooks, the PowerShell runbooks. We have graphical runbooks. You can author in the cloud. We have both textual and graphical authoring in the cloud, and I'll show you a demo here in a second. We also have textual authoring of PowerShell and of DSC through the PowerShell ISC add-on, which a lot of people find very, very nice, because then you can author right in your own on your own machine using all the power of the PowerShell ISC. So one of the updates we did for graphical is we have new runbook type. We have some other improvements. We have the PowerShell ISC add-on, which is fairly new this year, and it's constantly being improved based on feedback from the community. We also improved the runbook called Start Azure RM Automation Runbook. And this is a very powerful one because it basically allows you to start any type of runbook from any other type of runbook. Typically, if you're going to do a runbook in line of PowerShell, you have to call PowerShell. PowerShell Workflow has to call PowerShell Workflow. This will allow you to call any type from any type, wait for the output, and get it back. So it's all a very powerful thing we did to that commandlet. And also, we're also adding many more gallery runbooks. Our team is adding more all the time to help you get going. Within graphical authoring, some of the core updates we have, and again, graphical authoring is we came from the orchestrator world where there's a visual drag and drop configure type metaphor for it. A lot of people really love that, and so we offer you both types to work on and build up your workflows. What we did this year is we took the graphical runbook, which primarily was based on PowerShell workflow, and again, when our service first came out, we offered PowerShell workflow scripts. Now we have native PowerShell scripts, and the graphical runbooks are also based on native PowerShell too. So it speeds things up, and you get all the advantages of native PowerShell. We also allow you to get the output properties, just like you get off the data bus and orchestrator. You can get the output properties of objects, make it easier to work on. We also have error handling, which I'll show you in a second. We have these different types, and people ask, why do you have these different types? When should I use one versus the other? And basically, you can use them together. They're meant to be cohabit very nicely together. Textual, PowerShell, you can just get into the nitty-gritty and write some very powerful code very quickly to work on some of the underpinnings of reaching out and doing a very particular task. Graphical runbooks are really great for visualizing the whole workflow you have. So a lot of management loves to see the IT folks making something graphically. They can go, how do you do that process here? And they can see step one, step two. They can see exactly what's going on. And each one of those steps is an activity that may be written in another graphical piece or maybe written in PowerShell and maybe eventually be written in Python or Bash. And all those steps are just brought in, and then you can visualize how they work. So it all works together. You know, it goes into how your style of how you like to program and also what you want the end piece to be. So let me hop into a demo here. So first I'm going to get a runbook to come up. One of the features that we have on runbooks is the ability to tag them. And as you can see, it's becoming very useful for us during these demos to find exactly which one of these runbooks we want to talk about. Okay. So when you select a runbook here, you can see you're getting all kinds of information about this runbook. You're going to be able to see the jobs it ran, which schedules it has, which webhooks are using it. There's a whole bunch of settings up here. I'm going to go to edit right here. And this brings you into our editing pane, where you can edit your PowerShell scripts in the cloud. And We offer you an authoring pane here, which gives things like limited IntelliSense. And we also then, over here in the library, we offer you easy access to all of the modules that you have imported into your system and all of the, is that a huge one? Let me go to another one. All of the commandlets that are in there. So if you want to, say, pull in a particular commandlet, it's as easy as that to add it to the script. It brings in the commandlet name and all of the properties that you should set. So I'm not going to go through and make a runbook here, but I'll go back and fix that a little bit. We also offer you the commands. We also offer you access to all the runbooks in your system. So like one of the things you want to think about when you're putting together these workflows that automate your processes is sort of a modular approach, right? You have small pieces that do a particular task. You've tested them, and they work. And then you build up your workflows based on those smaller pieces. And so you can make those smaller pieces as your own commandlets if you want and put them in a module, or you can make them as other runbooks. And this gives you access to the ability to go in then and select the runbook and, again, pull it in to the canvas and use it like that. So it makes it very easy to find what you need as you're doing the authoring. And you also have access to all the assets in your system. So if you need to set up the connection, let's say, to Azure, it's as simple as that. And that's going to bring in the connection info that then you can use to authenticate to Azure. So that's that core piece. There's also a test pane that comes with this, which allows you to enter the parameters, test the thing, do the whole authoring test and fix cycle. You can run tests on either on Azure or on one of your hybrid workers. And it's often very nice to run on hybrid workers, because if you have a hybrid worker going, because they run extremely fast, then you can pick your own machine, and it really goes great. So that's our textual editor in the cloud. I'm going to jump down right now and show you the PowerShell IEC add-on. And this is a textual editor that is right on your machine. So this is right now running on this laptop here. And it gives you the same capabilities that you could edit in the cloud, plus a lot more. So once you, and this add-on is available in GitHub right now. If you just search for Azure Automation PowerShell IEC add-on, you'll find it. It's very easy to download and install. And once you're here and you've configured it to point to your account, you have access to all of the runbooks in your account. You have access to DSC configurations, so you could work on them. Also in this editor here, you have access to all of the assets in the account, include all the credentials, connections, variables, certificates. Again, you can pull them down and use them, edit them, upload them back into the cloud. So you can take advantage of the speed and the power of the PowerShell IEC environment, which has much richer IntelliSense. Everything just works faster, and you have a greater ability to do the work more quickly for your textual authoring. Here's an example of that same textual runbook down here. And if I made changes to this, I could then upload them back to the cloud, and you would see the changes manifest up there. Also, here's an example of a PowerShell DSC configuration. Again, you can edit them here in the PowerShell IEC add-on and upload them back into the cloud. So if you look at like runbooks here, and we had this one here, you can see the various capabilities. You can download it here to your local machine. It tells you here what the status is. You can do testing. You can create new runbooks. You can delete runbooks and things like that. assets here. It tells you the sync status, whether it's only in the cloud or whether you've already synced it down to your local machine. So again, we're giving you two different ways to edit PowerShell scripts in the cloud, within your local environment. And again, it's just to, you can take your choice, and it's to allow you to very easily create these runbooks and get them into the system. So now I'll go to another type of editor, which is our graphical editor. And I'll open this runbook right here. And again, you have the capability, if you want here, to just view the thing. We have a view capability, so you don't have to go into the edit mode. You can view what's going on. Or you can go into editing. I'm also going to I'll go ahead in a second. So in the graphical, we've put a lot of work into our graphical editor, because we know that our orchestrator customers really appreciate this, and we know that it also fills a niche in a certain type of programming, a certain type of runbook that shows you your workflows in a very visual way. This one here in particular will register a VM with PowerShell DSC agent. And you can see how it tells you what's going on. We're going to get the run as connection. We're going to connect to Azure. We're going to get a subscription that we're going to manage. We're going to set the subscription. And then based on what the input parameters are, we're either going to get a single VM, all the VMs in a resource group, or all the VMs in the subscription. We're going to then get the details. And then we're going to check if the VM is registered with DSC. And if it's not, we're going to register it. All right? And then at the end, we're going to write something out. So you can look at this, and you're not seeing a whole bunch of code. You're seeing exactly what's going on. Yet if you look into the details of each one of these pieces, they're a commandlet. They're another runbook. There's some detailed code that's actually doing the task. So you can see how graphical goes very nicely together with textual type authoring to build up these workflows. And it also helps teams, with different expertise to put together workflows and work on them. So some of the characteristics of graphical here is that, again, you have your library over here. You have access to all your commandlets. You have access to your commandlets. You have access to the runbooks. Like before assets, we have a couple of other controls within the graphical. One is called code, where if you pull this activity on, you can edit it and put in pure PowerShell code. So it allows you within a graphical runbook to put in pure pieces of PowerShell to extend for custom situations that you have. Now again, graphical authoring is meant to be, you still need to know PowerShell. You still need to understand it. It's just a different way of putting together workflows. Couple places, things I want to point out here is that we have you've seen these lines here, which are the links as you link things together. We have pipeline and sequence in PowerShell in the graphical. A pipeline, for those of you familiar with either Orchestrator or with PowerShell, pipeline means that if activity A here outputs 5 objects, then activity B runs 5 times, all right? The next type that you could say is we want this to be a sequence, which means that also with a pipeline that if activity A does not put anything, then activity B does not run. So with the sequence, the next activity always runs, but it gets the output from the previous activity as an array of objects. So just, it's just something there to for your situation, you figure out how you want to code it. Something we've just put in recently I want to show you is that also on links you can apply conditions. So you can do link conditions. You can put in expressions like, you can look at all the data within your runbook and you decide which link should be followed here. I want to show you a couple of new ones we have. So you can search through this. So we have search in graphical. We don't have it in textual yet. And so if I go into edit this this new one here, and I'm going to determine what is going to be the input to the, this is just a write output commandlet, all right? So we're going to write something out, just to show you how this works. And what you're seeing here with the activity output is you're seeing, this is like the data bus in Orchestrator, you're seeing the potential to get the output from anything that's upstream from this activity here. And let's just choose this one very quickly. This is the output of the get VM, the Azure commandlet to get VM. And what you can see here is because that commandlet has used the right, has used the output type configuration on the commandlet. There's, you can always select the output type, and it's not used a lot in PowerShell because it wasn't used. But now that we have graphical interfaces, that output type becomes very important because we can read the output type, we can get the .NET type that's there, and we know what all the fields are and properties in that type. And so then you can come in here and just select the one you want. So say if you wanted to output the name of the VM, it's just like that. You've got it all figured out. You don't, and it's just showing you right there. So that's one of the new things that we've done. Another is that if I came in here and I decided that this was going to be not write output, but this was going to be handle error, and then we could take this link and we can turn it into an error link. And what this is all, this is just brand new within the last 2 weeks. And what that means is that if this activity right here outputs an error, then the flow will follow to that error handler. It won't go the output link, it'll go to the error handler. So this is a way of now we have error handling within graphical runbooks. And you can also, on a given activity, you can say convert exceptions to errors, which means that if this activity here has either an exception or an error, then the data will flow down to this activity here, and you can do whatever you want. You can send an email, you can write a ticket in your ITSM system, you could go do some troubleshooting, whatever you want. It's a way to handle errors in your runbooks, in the graphical runbooks. So I think I'll stop there with that one. Let's see. Okay. Oh, thanks, Jenny. So we're going to jump a little bit now into some of the integration story. And one of the main integrations that's happening these days is integration of Azure Automation with Operations Management Suite. And I want to show you a couple of ways that automation is integrating with OMS to make it a lot more powerful, to make the use of the data that comes out of Log Analytics more powerful as you can take actions on the data you're seeing. So one of the scenarios is that in automation, you are getting your, So to lead up to one of the demos I'm doing, I want to say that, Log Analytics, OMS, the first, the insight and analytics piece is about getting the logs and information from all the systems that you're managing into one place so that then you can do queries across them, analyze those queries, create alerts, and respond to the information you're seeing about your systems. You can also get the data from your Azure Automation accounts into OMS. And that right now that is the information about the job status. So when you run runbooks, you get the status of the jobs, whether they're completed, whether they failed, whether they're suspended, whatever. And you also get the job streams, the output, the errors, warnings, into OMS. So this allows you to manage your automation jobs through OMS now. You have a view into the health of the jobs that you're running. And I'm going to show you a scenario here where that becomes useful. And again, if you're using Azure Automation and you want to enable your jobs to go into OMS, it's very easy. You can see there's a couple of, there's a blog about it, and it's very easy to run, it's a very easy process to make that happen. So one of the integrations is that the ability to remediate alerts with OMS, with automation. So within OMS, you can create saved searches, when you have a saved search on one of your logs, the saved search is looking for some information of interest to you in your logs. You know, some service is down. There's been some nefarious IP address is doing something within one of your servers. Whatever information you're looking for, you can find it in the logs. But then you can create an alert on it. And I'm going to show you that in a second. And if you create an alert on it, you can, when that alert fires, you can tell it to kick off a runbook to do something. And that something, could be send an email to your team, send something to Slack. It could be creating a ticket in ServiceNow, Cherwell Provence, one of those ITSM solutions. It could be doing some more troubleshooting on that machine to get more info before you create a ticket. It could even be remediating. If you feel like you know exactly what's going on, then you could do a remediation with the runbook. And the second one is that, so that's hooking up automation to an alert. The second one is on your saved searches now, you can do take action immediately and kick off a runbook. You find something in your saved search, some operator finds something, or they get a call that there's something wrong, they can see exactly what's happening, and they can take an action right now using the context of that search and kick off a runbook. And again, I'll show you an example of that as well. I want to take just a second here to tell you about, and this is one of those other examples that showing you the real world use of this. Within Microsoft, we have campuses all over the world, and each one of those campuses has dozens of conference rooms in them. And each conference room has, you know, a handful or more of devices, you know, TVs and phones and conferencing devices. And those don't always work. Just like the computers have problems, those things have problems too. And so to manage that, they found a way to get the information from all of those devices into OMS. So they worked on the schemas and that, but it's all into OMS now from every single device. They've made safe searches to look what on each different type. And now if someone calls up from a conference room and says, hey, I can't do a conference in here because the conference thing doesn't work, an operator can go in, do a search and find that issue, click the Take Action Now button, and there's a runbook specifically for it and might like reboot the phone system in that particular conference room. So they've taken something that, for a problem that probably wouldn't be fixed for weeks maybe, to where an operator now can fix it within hours. And this is all done through OMS and its linkage with automation. So again, this shows you the power of using this system to make life very much easier and to solve a problem that you have managing a huge amount of devices efficiently. I wanted to show you this slide here because one of the key aspects of Azure automation within OMS is that within OMS, you put your nodes under management. And by putting a node under management in OMS, which means that you have that machine has the Microsoft management agent on it, and it uses that. It's basically the same agent that SCOM uses. And that's what uploads the logs into OMS. Well, Azure Automation, you know, piggybacks off of that MMA agent to, with a little bit of configuration, that's how you install a hybrid runbook worker on each node. And so you can think of your nodes under management. You're getting the health data, the log data from these nodes into Operations Management Suite. And then you also have a hybrid runbook worker on each one. And by setting up a hybrid runbook worker, you've already done the authentication bit. By setting it up, you've already established the secure connection. So then it makes it very easy to take an action. If you find something's wrong with that machine, it's very easy now to take an action on that machine with a runbook because you can just target that hybrid runbook worker. And that's what this is showing here is that you have Azure Automation in the cloud, you have your on-premise machine, which has the MMA agent on it. It has the hybrid runbook worker as well. And you have services or other things that are running, applications that you're monitoring. The log data is going into OMS, and you have log searches that you've made, safe searches. You have alerts that you've created. the alert would kick off a runbook in Azure, or it could kick off a runbook directly in a hybrid worker, and then you could fix the problem. So it really ties together very nicely. And you don't have to manage this the credentials for all these thousands of machines you have so that you could do run on and try to get into those machines and do the work. With a hybrid worker, you're already inside, the auth has already been done for you, and you just go in and fix the problem. Okay. Demo. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so here we are now in the Operations Management Suite portal. I'm showing you the portal. We call it the Classic Portal. All of this is moving into Azure, into the Azure portal. There's pieces of it in the Azure portal right now, but still quite a bit of it's in there, what they call the Classic OMS portal. So that's what I'm showing you right now. But you'll start seeing all of this moving into the Azure portal, just like Azure Automation is in the Azure portal. What I'm showing you right now, then, is this is the dashboard. But I want to go into log search here. And I'll bring up my favorites. I've made a couple of saved searches. One is this one here, daily database creation. Cleanup failed. So say you have a runbook that goes and cleans up your database every day. It might reindex, it might do whatever you need to do to your database, and it runs every day. You want to know if that doesn't work. Something fails. Sometimes the connection to the database doesn't work, whatever. You want to know about that. So here's an example of where we've created a saved search on this. And then I'm just going to show you here how you would create an alert on this. So the runbook, again, is in Azure Automation. We have the logs from Azure Automation coming down into OMS. The runbook fails, so you see in this saved search the failed job. And now we're going to create an alert on that. And I'm just going to go through part of the alert creation here, and that's just to show you how you would hook up the runbook to this. So this then, you know, the OMS workspace is connected with the automation account. And you get then visibility here to all the runbooks in that account. And here I have this runbook called Handle Failed Job from OMS Alert. All right? And so that runbook now will be kicked off every time the alert happens. And what happens with these alerts is that they pass in what's called, they use a webhook. So when you create an alert to a runbook, it uses this thing called a webhook. And when you create a webhook that calls a runbook, it passes a big blob of data called webhook data, all right, this big JSON object. And so what you're going to get when this runbook kicks off is you're going to get the search results that caused the alert. So you get a large package, basically an object of the search results, and then you can take action. You can look into those results and figure out what you need to do. So this is how you set up an alert. You can run it either in Azure or you can run it on a hybrid worker if you want. You can pick one of your hybrid workers to run it on. And again, this gets to the whole idea of being able to run things right within your data center on the workers themselves and remediate problems. But let me go now to let me switch back over here for a second. To show you that runbook really quickly. So basically what this runbook does is going to send an email about this. It's going to send an email, and it's going to send a Slack message. It's also going to create an incident in your ITSM solution. So what's happening here is you construct the message, you get the search results, you're constructing an HTML or whatever, how you want to construct the message, and then you can do all these various things. You know, you can create an instant in ITSM, you can send an email to your group, alias, to notify people. You can make a Slack message to one of your Slack groups, and you can write some output. This is the power of what you can do when you kick off and use a runbook that's responding to alert. You can do a whole variety of things within that runbook. You have all the power of that. And if I go over to here, so within OMS alerts, you can set up to, they have a standard way to set up sending an email to you. And this is the output you get from that. It can be quite useful. You get all of the data, basically, in this email message. But one of the powers that of using a runbook is that you can customize the message that's going to come out of this to the people who are going to get this email, this Slack, this incident ticket. You can customize the information that's going to be in there now based on what you got from the search results. You parse through it, only pull out the pieces that are interesting to you, and then create the message or do whatever you need to do. So this is just, again, showing the example of how using automation can make things, you can do finer tuning of how you want to handle these issues. And, okay, I didn't finish my demo. So then another part of the demo I wanted to show you here is the take action piece. So if we go back here to log search, and I'm going to look at another one of my favorites, and this is going to be service stop. So in this case, you have created a safe search that's going to look for a particular service that stopped on some machine. In this case, we just picked the spooler for demo reasons. And what I've done is I've gone through and I've stopped it on this particular machine. So you can see now that this machine, which is under management, this particular service had stopped for whatever reason. And it could be whatever service, whatever piece of information is interesting to you, you're finding this anomaly that you want to act on. So in this case, it was the stop spooler service. So one of the things we can do, and this also is very new, it's basically in beta right now. We still have to do some more work on it, is you can take action right now from this search result. And again, this is the operator story. The folks who are going to manage those devices within the conference rooms at Microsoft, this is the approach, this is part of the approach. They're going to have some things that are going to be kicked off on alerts, kick off a runbook immediately and do something. Other times, the operator will come in here to the console, and they will find the problem, and they will kick off a runbook right now to go reboot that, TV that's not working or whatever. Again, you come in here, you choose a runbook. In this case, we're going to choose start service on hybrid. And it was, what was the service? It was the spooler. Thank you. We're going to use the hybrid worker here. This is the machine that the problem was on, and then we're going to run. So what this is going to do is it's going to restart the spooler service on this machine. What happens here is that this is spun off a job on that hybrid worker. We can see the job ID. If I click this, then this opens to the Azure portal, where we can see that we can see the job running. Start service on hybrid. And in just a second, you're going to see some results from it. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to go to this runbook right here. This is the runbook. I'm going to go into jobs. I'm going to go to a job I ran about a couple hours ago. And you can see what comes out of this. So then it tells me the service was started. So this is going to happen with this other one I'm running right now. I'm going to quickly move on to the next demo I have, because I want to get to it. We have about 5 minutes left. So if you allow me not to show you the bloody end of that particular demo. So one of the really cool features we have that is going to be coming out really soon, we call watchers and watcher tasks. And for those of you who use Orchestrator, you know that Orchestrator has a concept of monitors in it, where within a runbook, you can create a monitor that's looking out at some system, looking for some information, some state. And when that state is reached, the runbook kicks off and does something. We haven't had that capability within Azure Automation yet, but we will very soon. And so what I want to do is I want to show you how this has worked out. Again, it's a well-known paradigm. You have event-driven. You wait for an event, and then you do something based on that event. So we're implementing that also within automation. You monitor, and you take an action. Within the watcher paradigm, you have basically two runbooks. You have the watcher runbook, which is running 24/7. It runs within your hybrid worker, so that and we have special, we know the watcher runbooks, and so you don't pay for the minutes that those are running, because they're running all the time. So basically, you set them up on your hybrid worker, and they run, and you don't get charged for that running of a hybrid, of a watcher runbook. So you have the watcher runbook. It's kicked off on a schedule every so many seconds, every so many minutes. It's going out to look at some system to see what the state is. And then when that state logic is true, it kicks off what we call the action runbook, which actually then goes out on a different job and does the work. So that's the core idea behind this. I'm going to skip past this to get to the demo, because. Okay. So first of all, I'm going to go to this one here. So this is Azure Backup Recovery Vault. And I wanted to show you the screen here. You can see all the VMs that are under backup policy. So the basic demo I'm going to show you is that you have a Hyper-V machine. A VM is created on it. The watcher is looking at that Hyper-V machine for new VMs. When it sees that a new VM was created, it's going to put it under backup policy within Azure Backup Vault, Backup Recovery Vault. That's the core scenario here. So I just want to show you here, and especially look at these two here, these demo one and two. Those were for us practicing before in this. I just wanted to show you those. So let's go back here to the automation, Azure Automation. We look at all settings. And again, this isn't available right yet, but it will be very shortly. You can see that's a runbook, okay. Over here in the settings, there's a group called Watcher Tasks. You can see that there's one Watcher Task that's been created here. And you look into this, you can see that it uses, here's the Watcher Runbook. Here's the Action Runbook. If you want to add a new watcher, you just click that button. You can name it. You can set the frequency that it's going to the watcher will kick off on. Then you can pick the watcher runbook you want to run from your runbooks. Pick whichever one you want. Then you pick the action runbook. Whoops, gotta save that. You pick the, okay, you pick the action runbook. Backup VM to Recovery Vault, and it's gonna take some parameters here. I'm not gonna go through and finish all this, but that's how this particular watcher was set up. You pick the watcher and you pick the action. So let me go into this machine here. So we already have the VM set up. I didn't want it to take so much time. So all I'm going to do is I'm going to start this thing. And by starting it, that will make this VM visible now to this watcher. So it is, simulates making a new VM. And then if we go back here to that particular watcher, and we can look at the action jobs. And we can see it's not quite picked up yet. So what I want to do is I want to just very quickly show you the runbooks that are associated with that so you can see what they look like very quickly, like 40 seconds.
Minus
40 seconds. Anyway, maybe I should just stop. It works, okay? And so that brings you to that final, really, it's a really, really cool feature, and I think it's going to be used a lot. So with that, I'd like to say thanks from Jenny and myself, and we're open to questions. We're at minus one, but I think we can take any questions for a while
and
here.
And if you wanted to track down and look up at any of the features in OMS, here we have the schedule here. You could also view our deck after if you want to go and see on demand for any of these sessions.
Yeah, so we have, yeah.